A severely underpaid nanny fixes a family with magical fun.
Welcome to the Walt Vault with
Michelle,
Andre,
Louise,
and me, Emily. We're a family-friendly podcast where we pick a new Disney movie each week. We watch it, share our thoughts, and then relate it to pop culture, fandoms, and anything else that pops into our heads. Enjoy!
Hello and welcome to the Walt Vault, episode 62!
I love the way you talk, Andre. It is so funny. No, not the burr, burr, burr. Oh. It was the...
Hello and welcome to the Walt Vault.
My newscaster that. Voice?
Yeah, it's really good.
Thank you.
Okay.
This week, we are talking about both 1964's
Poppins.
Mary Poppins and 2013's Saving Mr. Banks, a movie about 1964.
And honestly, we will probably just talk about them together.
And she's popping.
It will be a more of a Mary Poppins movie discussion.
There we go.
It will be a Mary Poppins movies discussion. So let's go ahead with our first impressions. Luis, what's your first impressions just of Mary Poppins?
I actually like it after watching it, watching Saving Mr. Banks. I appreciate that one a lot.
Oh, so did you guys watch Saving Mr. Banks first and
we
then
did.
Mary Poppins?
We did.
Yes.
We did it the other way around.
Yes, we did.
So we watched
other way.
Mary Poppins and then Saving Mr. Banks.
I won't even lie to you, strategic move. Like, strategic
yeah.
move on
no,
my part.
No, it was
part.
Really good because I haven't seen Mary Poppins since I was probably like 5 or 6.
No, I'm saying it was a strategic move on my part to watch Saving Mr. Banks
first.
Because I know my Lou. And his level for frivolity is
right.
relatively low.
Yeah.
So after watching Saving Mr. Banks, he had this emotional connection to the story, even though he didn't like know the story as much.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying?
He was like,
yeah,
Mrs.
Yeah,
Travers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, he's over here
he's like, this shouldn't be happening. I don't want all this magical penguins animation.
It was good that I watched Mary Poppins first, or else that some of the Saving Mr. Banks stuff would have got lost on me because I didn't remember the movie as well. So I liked it better that way. So, you liked Saving Mr. Banks better than Poppins in general?
No. Comment.
No. Comment. Okay.
No comment.
But he likes it.
I loved it. It was great. No comment.
That was a comment.
After that comment.
Sir, that was a
no
comment.
No more comments.
All right, let's go to Emily. First impressions of Mary Poppins.
Better after I watched Saving Mr. Banks. Because I will tell you that even as a kid, there was parts in the Mary Poppins movie that I didn't particularly, not so much didn't understand, like cognitively I understood what was happening, but I didn't understand why it was happening.
Yeah.
Or I thought it was kind of like boring and or it just didn't like connect with me. But now that after watching Saving Mr. Banks, I'm like, dude, that was so important to P.L. Travers.
Yes, correct.
Like that fiduciary bank song, which was so awful as a kid, is now like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
This was a tragic moment in yeah. life. It's so important, which
and
I would
feed
have
the
never
birds
thought.
Too. I'm like, stop it,
yeah.
stop
feed
it. I never used to like
birds.
The feed the birds song that much, but now
birds.
I'm like, oh, I feed the birds.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
you mean the Nubbins song?
The Nubbins song?
Nubbins a day.
Yes, Nubbins a bag. I was very confused. But that's funny because now I feel like these movies are inseparable.
Right.
Like
yeah.
once I watched watching them together, I was like, wow, it's so important
yeah.
to know the backstory.
It is very important. My first impression, we watched Mary Poppins first. And I kind of went in it to in this mindset that I wasn't going to like it because I was like, it's going to be too frivolous. Like, it's going to be like Alice in Wonderland where it's good. But I was like, yikes, a little bit, you know? But no, I loved it. Like, I appreciated it a lot more as an adult. I think as a kid, I shut out. Like, I love to laugh and the feed the birds
yeah.
and the bank and all of that was shut out. And I think I only would watch, like, the first half of the movie where they would, like, go to the cartoons and stuff.
Yeah.
Because that I knew. I was quoting that.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
the
yeah.
rest of the movie, I was like, I don't know. But I appreciated it and loved it a lot more. Then we watched Saving Mr. Banks after, and I was like, oh, yeah, Mary Poppins is, like, one of the greatest movies ever. Right? Because
mm-hmm.
it gives you such a more deeper appreciation for how these things come to be, to the point where I told Andre, like, man, they should just make like a Savings Mr. Bank type movie for all movies. Like, make one for Black Panther. I need to see how important Black Panther was and how that was made too. Like,
the movie came
together.
You want to know about the emotional turmoil that happened to create Black Panther?
What happened last year?
You know, don't make fun of me. I'm just saying, in general, I like that concept.
Yeah, no,
very much. I mean, I've been saying for years, I'm going to watch Saving Mr. Banks, but it never thrilled me because it was kind of like this nonfiction thing.
Right.
You know, but it's great. I love it.
Yeah.
Andre.
Basically the same as all you guys. It's okay. It's basically the same. Yeah, we watched Mary Poppins first. I liked Mary Poppins. Just background, I think I've watched Mary Poppins as a kid a couple of times or something like that, and it was never my favorite movie. I remembered supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and that was about it. You know, that's the level of excitement I had for watching Mary Poppins again, and I enjoyed it this time. I enjoyed it more than like Bedknobs and Broomsticks, for sure, which I like lumped those two in together because they're like very similar kinds of films. But after watching Saving Mr. Banks, then that really elevated Mary Poppins for me.
Yeah, it did.
I'm like, wow, this movie is smart and important, and all the songs have meaning, and the acting is all really great. And you know what I noticed, and we'll probably get into this later, but like, they're singing live in the movie, like all the songs singing there.
Yeah, because they're doing it as if they were really doing
it. And that's something that we absolutely take for granted now.
Can you imagine if we did that now?
The year of our Lord 2019, where...
Oh my gosh!
Where people...
Luis raised his hand. Yes, comment.
They make the movies where, you know, they...
I thought he was praising the good Lord. Go ahead.
They make their movie, they sing the songs on the set, and then they immediately go and ADR over it to like in a booth, record the songs, headphones on, singing all loud, and then put
getting
that
all
on,
crazy
and then put
fantastic.
That on top of what happened in the actual movie. And it's just there's a disparity there that you don't really notice when you're just watching like the Beauty and the Beast, like the live action one or something like that.
Unless you're me and Emily,
unless you're trained,
we notice it
exactly. We notice it. Yeah, and we had talked about that on that episode, but.
It's the problem with being a choir nerd.
But watching them sing live in Mary Poppins was like very exciting.
Because and it's so funny too, because and I just have to weigh in on that. And like you said, we can come back to it. But it's so interesting, especially if and when you've had any type of musical training, or you like to sing, or you just sing in the shower. You know that like if you're going to sing something super powerfully, whatever.
Passionately.
You're going, and you might not think this in your head, but you're going to breathe from your diaphragm. You're going to breathe from like the lowest part of your stomach to get a lot of air and then belt it out. And you can literally see Mary, a.k.a. Julie, a.k.a. goddess of all time. You can see her just take over scenes because of the way she sings. Mm-hmm. And it's just magnificent.
Yeah.
So it's so cool to watch this live stuff. And the same thing with like Bert. Why do I have a...
Dick Van Dyke.
I know, but I just feel like Bert
and Ernie.
His name's Bert. I know, but anywho. But for him, all of the cute little mannerisms he does, I don't think you could like recreate that in a booth as fun as you did when you were on set the first time.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it just makes it so much more lively.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yes, I agree. So I think versus like going through the movie, honestly, if we talk about the characters of each movie, like we will go through the movie because that's what both of them were about. So let's start with the two mains, Mary Poppins and Bert. And I want to start with Bert because Andre said something about Dick Van Dyke when we were watching it.
What did I say?
Dick Van Dyke, like Emily said, is a very physical actor. His body movements are so dramatic. There was sometimes where he was just kicking and I was like, those kicks are great. Like everything about his facial expressions. Andre made the comment that
he reminds me of like Gene Kelly.
He said it reminds him of Jim Carrey.
Oh, okay. In a different
like that
way.
Same right. kind yes. of
a little less musical.
Facial comedy yeah. and stuff.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Bert's character is great. We were having a discussion of like, is Bert homeless or not? Like I think
knows?
He is. Like I don't know if he's homeless. He's definitely poor. And he's going between all of these jobs. But everybody loves him.
Oh,
you know,
100%.
Because he's such a character. And then I was kind of trying to figure out where he fits in all of this. Like, he's not in the family. He's just kind of out and about. Wait. And he's like the narrator.
He's the narrator, I think.
Which works.
I don't know what that is in the literary form, but it's almost like the omniscient narrator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know he's the narrator, but
he knows more
than
his character should know as an individual standing on the street.
He's exactly what that rooster is to Robin Hood.
Yeah.
He just knows everything.
He's like narrating it, but he's part of the movie.
Or even when he sees Mary Poppins, he's like, Mary Poppins. And he just knows like about her magicalness already. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. I love them together.
He properly breaks the fourth wall.
Yes.
Okay, that's a very good,
unlike
way of putting it.
Some other fictional character.
He's so angry. No, I agree. Well, that's the amount of I know more, but I'm not going to tell you because I want you to figure it out on your own versus just like, all right, we in a story, y'all. You know, I enjoy that quite a bit.
His character has, I love Julie Andrews as Mary Poppins, but Dick Van Dyke has to be just one of, he's just so iconic to me. And his smile, like every time he smiles or does something, one of my favorite parts of him is when they're in the, in the painting, like in the cartoon with the animation around them with the penguins, and he's singing that song and he's listing all of these girls' names, and Mary Poppins' face is just like, oh, jeez. And he's like, I don't even know all the names he's saying because there's so many different girls' names. And he's like, oh, but Mary Poppins is the best of them, you know? It's a ridiculous character that I just love. And I don't really know if that was a P.L. Travers thing, because she definitely didn't want Dick Van Dyke to be Bert. So I'm sure she pictured him a much different way, but I enjoy this interpretation.
Well, what's really funny is that if you think about, and it's funny because, and I think it's the way that we watch the movies, like the opposite ways. But when I look at the storyline at like paralleling her life, mm-hmm. P.L. Travers's, which her name was, now I can't remember what her real name was.
I don't remember either.
It doesn't matter. The author. Like when we parallel her life, it was Helen something. Anywho, Goff.
That was the
Helen Goff.
Okay. Anywho, when we're paralleling her life, there really isn't a Bert character. Like Bert is not like a person in her life.
Right.
Mary Poppins is, mm-hmm. you know, and like the father figure, Mr. Banks is not obviously by name, but Bert really is the almost the glue. Even though Mary Poppins seems like the glue.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
What about the horse?
The horse?
Yeah. Wasn't the horse an uncle?
Yeah, but that's the uncle that laughs.
Right, yeah, the laughing
the
uncle.
The ha, 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 ha. Mm-hmm. I know. So Bert, I think, is like one of those characters that's a little bit more, like, you can have more fun with him.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's why Disney was able to, even though I agree that...
She definitely
was
didn't
not
really
about
want
him,
that.
Which is hilarious. No.
But I'm sorry. Oh, gosh. I love Dick Van Dyke so much.
She didn't want Dick
She's
Van
wonderful.
Dyke, and she also didn't want there to be any even a hint of romance between Mary and Bert.
And no
which,
red.
There
which
was
when I posted...
No red!
This is the best part, is when I posted the graphic for this episode, I realized afterwards that it was all, like, bordered in red, and it looked all red, and I was like, ooh, sorry,
PL. And I knew that going into watching Mary Poppins, because I've heard people say that all the time, it's not red. But to me, it's like her dress is red and white and his is red and white, right? But apparently it's just a very, 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 very dark orange, which I'm like, nah, it looks red to me, but it does look a little more vivid.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if that has to do with like the remastered pieces or what. Yeah. But I feel like when you see them in the parks, it still seems red to me.
I'm going to have to pay more attention to it.
I don't pay enough attention.
Andre
I heard
and
a rumor ooh. That it was a play with the technology at the time. Like, it was costume-wise, if she would have been on set, she would have saw orange. But once it was on the
film
part, it came out red.
And it changed colors.
Mm. Ooh, that is rude.
Not sure if
I haven't heard
true.
That. That's cool, though.
That's probably just, like, a difference in saturation that they
use
with the cameras.
You know what,
Walt? Well, and exactly, if you think about it, it looks super saturated. Like, all the colors are very, very
and I'm
vibrant.
Sure the version that we watched was definitely remastered, of course. Like, the colors were very vivid and beautiful. So, who knows? But next time I'm in the park, Andre and I actually have a photo. The very first time we went to Disneyland together, it's Mary Poppins, Bert, and two penguins.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm going to find that photo and see if it's red.
Zoom in.
Well, is that red?
I'm sure that the the costumes are red, you know, like in the parks, because it matches the movie. They're not going to match the set costumes, which were orange, which were only orange to please P.L. Travers and to get her off Walt Disney's back.
One of the best parts about that whole thing.
Yes.
Is when she says that, FYI, I think that's the scene where she's wearing, or it might be the scene afterwards, but she's wearing a red sweater. Mm-hmm. And she has red freaking lipstick on. Like, girl.
That's right, yes.
Oh, like, Mary Poppins?
No.
Oh, P.L. Travers. Yes, yes, yes.
Like, she's sitting in the booth and she's just like, me, 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 me. And I'm like, girl, your lipstick could not be any more red right now.
Oh, man.
I mean, I can say the word that we all wanted to call her, because as soon as I mean, I didn't know about P.L. Travers. All I knew is when this movie started, I was like, I don't like her. She's a B, right?
For
like,
the first
oh my
45
gosh,
minutes
I can't stand
of Saving
her.
Mr. Banks. She and is then, an extremely frustrating
gosh,
person.
And then
it's pretty funny.
Yeah,
though.
The psychologist yes. was coming out of pretty me, funny. Which was how I totally empathized with Walt. Like, what can I do to get this girl to open up to me? Because that's Walt. He is very in tune with his emotions, although his life had turmoil and things like that. But I'm like, come on, Walt, get it. Use your psychologist, Walt. Do something, because she's driving me batty.
Well, one of my favorite characters in this whole shebang of all these characters, and I really hope that this gentleman is real, because who knows? I mean, in the Saving Mr. Banks world, I suppose he could not be real. Mm-hmm. What was the driver's name, Luis? Do you remember?
Oh,
the car, the driver.
Yeah, he was
Paul
so
Giamatti. His name was Ralph.
Ralph. Thank you. So the idea is that kind of backstory on Saving Mr. Banks. Pretty much, Walt Disney had been trying to get the rights for the Mary Poppins, like, print,
for the,
screen.
For the property.
Right, for the property, to be able to put it into a movie from P.L. Travers for, like, 20 years or something.
20 years.
So, they've been going back and forth for literally two decades, and she's
calls
like...
her every year.
Yes, and she's like, no, 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 no. And I kind of appreciate it, because when you hear it from her side of or from her point of view, she's like, I don't want to sell something precious to me,
right?
Which
it's mine,
you know. You don't, I mean, if you had something that was really important to you, like a family heirloom, mm-hmm. you wouldn't want to sell it either.
Yeah.
And so that kind of is how she's coming at it. But Walt is like, well, you enraptured us with this story, and mm-hmm. I want to put it to film,
right?
So he's been bugging her for 20 years, and finally P.L. Travers's attorney is like,
you ain't got no more money.
You broke, girl. Like, you need to sell Mary Poppins. Mm-hmm. So she comes out to L.A. He flies her here. Walt Disney does. And from the moment that she gets off the plane until every time she travels, she is with Ralph.
Yes.
And Ralph, tell me if you agree with this. I don't think Ralph had ever met Walt Disney before.
No. I don't right.
No,
so
he
all.
Was just a driver that was hired.
Right, right, right.
Driver
right.
that
yes.
works for Disney.
Right, so he is like a part of Disney, but has never like actually met Walt Disney.
Correct. Yes, correct.
But he is 100% like the epitome of like the Disney spirit.
Yes.
So every time he's driving her somewhere, he's like finding the positive, and he's just being really sweet and everything. And she is like laying it on him so thick, just like there is nothing good about Los Angeles. The sun sucks.
Right. Yeah. He's like it's such a nice day. She's like, the sun is out. I wish it was raining.
And he's like,
she's
like,
the worst.
She's
at
like,
first.
Gray
gosh.
Brings life, and he's like, sun brings life. It's just like it keeps going and going and going. But I think it's so beautiful because he's one of the only people that really like stuck it to her
right.
in a way that like killed her with kindness, mm-hmm. like had no other option. Yeah. Like yeah. even Walt had to get a little like.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, because of his past, I think once he opened up about his daughter,
yep.
then P.L. was like, oh. Like she really is a kind person.
Yeah.
She's just she's stubborn.
Oh, yeah.
What she is.
Well, and she's very closed off.
Yeah.
So she just assumes
she's not married.
Everyone
she doesn't have anyone in her life, really. So,
right.
besides so our house, my house.
But that's why I like Ralph so much because
yes,
Ralph
yes,
like
yes.
was
he
like
was very good.
Oh no, I'm gonna kill you with kindness, and you're gonna like it.
Yeah. I
about
know.
That.
I really did love him. You're right.
Anywho,
really
I just had to go on my little Ralph bit because he's
Mrs.
so cute.
No problem. I'm gonna go on. We can all go on a Mary Poppins tangent now. You ready?
Yeah.
Andre
you
says.
You mean a Julie? A yes. Julie tangent.
Andre says in his notes. Julie Andrews was a babe. Excuse me. Julie Andrews is a babe.
Boom.
Which is so true.
Babe-alicious.
Luis, do you have any comments to weigh in on Julie Andrews' babe?
I need a Julie Andrews red lip right now.
Oh.
Because
well, it depends on what
what
do you think she's
decade
a babe?
You're using the term babe. Back then, a babe would definitely be someone like you would go the whole 10 yards with and back.
Yeah, Julie Andrews.
Nowadays, a babe is definitely that, but one that you take parents. You take home to the parents to meet.
I mean, both of those things apply
to
her.
Yeah, I'm trying to do all this with
Julie Andrews fits all of those descriptions. Go. No, not for you, Lou?
I guess what I'm trying to say is if you meant sex pot, no.
Okay. Mm. So
I don't think we meant it in that way. I meant just like a perfect angel specimen of a woman.
Yeah.
She's like cute and gorgeous
she's a woman.
At the same time and very
she's,
talented.
Yeah,
and
she's cute and gorgeous at the same time, yeah. Which is like so weird. And I think it also has a lot to do with the personality she plays as Mary Poppins, like where she looks at herself in the mirror and is like, cheeky. Like things like that come out where I'm like, that was cute, Mary. Like,
well, I like how she could just command the room. Like in no uncertain terms, she knows she has the floor. She's
that's
like,
not even Mary Poppins. That's freaking Julie, man.
Like, she like walked in and she's like owning it. Like
when Mr. Banks is hiring her.
Excuse me. Are
interviewing
you ill?
Her, excuse me. And she just turns the interview right around on him. She's like, okay, so this is what we're going
to
do. We're going
to
do this.
That's what I need to do at my interviews now.
I love it. She's like,
she
and
turns it
welcome.
On him too because he's like looking in the fireplace. She's like, are you ill? Like, what
so
are we doing here?
Funny. So good.
A British home. I love her. She's so great. And then
she still does, but with all of that sassiness and cheekiness or whatever, she still fits every piece of the description that the kids wanted in a nanny.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. Every piece.
Yeah. Their whole little letter that he ripped up.
So rude.
Ooh, Andre
rude.
Lost his marbles
I was so
when that
mad
happened.
When he did that. I was like, you had to rip that up, Mr. Banks.
Dude. Andre lost his marbles. No, he really did. He was like, I won't do that as a dad.
That's another thing about this movie. Like, you go through now as an adult versus a kid, and you're like, I will not be doing that with my kid. That's just rude.
First of all, I never had a nanny. I mean, I'll just raise my kids
myself.
I never
had a Katie Nana. I'm just saying.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's true. But, Mary Poppins. And it's weird because, like, a lot of people know about her, and they all love her. Like, the cook loves her. Everybody loves her, except for the dad. Except for Mr. Banks.
Well, I think he does love her.
He totally loves her.
And
at the end.
But he's so, no, even when he first meets her, she blows him away so much that he is confused because he doesn't know what this feeling is. He's like, what is happening? I just hired this woman, I think. And and she just came in here and told me what's what, but I'm the one who tells people what's what.
I'm a man of the house.
I'm the man of the house, but she just, and she, and now she's, and what, and now.
I didn't get that at all. I really don't think he liked her. I think he was like taken aback and offended that she like manipulated him with her words. And then I'm thinking back to Saving Mr. Banks when they do all those flashbacks to like her life. Like her dad, P.L. Travers's dad.
Yeah.
Who was
Travers Goff.
Travers Goff, yes. I don't think he liked the sister that is supposed to be Mary Poppins.
Oh, no, he hated the
sister. Right, correct.
Yeah, he hated her. And so I still got that same kind of vibe. I don't really think he liked Mary Poppins.
See, I don't see the here's the problem with me is that I don't think that Mary Poppins or the dad, excuse me, Mary Poppins and the dad are both representations of those people, but they're not really those people.
Correct.
Because the sister, so her aunt, who is the representation of Mary Poppins, no offense, wasn't really any of the things that Mary Poppins was on screen, right. At least. Again, and none of you guys have read the book, right? Because I haven't read the book. But at least to me, she was much more whimsical, much more fun, but kept that same kind of like structure.
Oh, for sure. Yes. I didn't think that they were alike at all, but I'm saying if we're saying they're a direct representation, then Bert or Mr. Banks wouldn't like Mary Poppins.
Sure.
Right.
And I agree with that. But I feel like every bit of whimsy that came from
Mary Poppins
was her dad.
Was her dad.
100%.
Yes.
Like all of that fun.
Yeah,
was
like
her
she's
dad.
Deflecting it onto
right.
Mary.
Because she didn't want to remember her dad as being, you know,
a drunk
unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So for her, she made this Mary Poppins character the most, you know, beautiful character that she could. And that's why Mr. Banks is so curmudgeon-y, is because it's almost like a weird amalgamation of, like, the aunt.
Yes.
You know?
It's so funny because he is so curmudgeon-y, but she gets very offended that they're going to make him like that. She's like, why? Yeah. Like, when they're saying he rips up the letter, and she's like, he would never do that. And right. In my mind, I'm like, yeah, Mr. Banks would. He totally did.
Right.
You know? So she,
and I think it's because she's just deflecting it so much.
Yeah, she's
kind
of stuck in this place of, like, and I mean, Walt kind of makes her realize a really eventually, like, what she's written. And I'm a lot of these things he's reading from her book, and he's getting these interpretations where he's like, we're not seeing this the same way as what you wrote it. But that happens all the time. Like, I can think of things completely different than someone else. So, you know.
Well, I mean, think about just, like, anything. Like, I feel like, I don't want to get into this, but I feel like social media is a perfect example. You know, I write something, you read it, and you take it completely different than how I intended it, but it all comes down to the way that it's interpreted.
Right. Yes.
And so I think she, like, exactly what you're saying, she interpreted it one way, and it's easier to think, I think just societally, it's a lot easier to think of a woman as being more comforting, more loving and everything than it is for a dad in that time period,
sure.
for sure.
Yeah.
Especially like a British father working at a bank.
Yeah, he's supposed to be going to work and enjoying his job and working hard to make sure that his family is well provided for, and not necessarily doing a lot of parenting, you know?
Well, right, that's also the time period.
Yeah, right, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Travers, she has like transposed her real family into Mary Poppins and now treats Mary Poppins as her real family. Mm-hmm. So I think that she is in the process of making the movie is like confusing a lot of those feelings.
Heck yeah.
And that's why she's like,
oh, she's
no mustache
mess.
On Mr. Banks. My dad didn't have a mustache.
And then I love how she's like, why
no
is there a mustache?
Hair.
Why is there a mustache?
And they're like, it was in the picture.
Because Walt wanted it.
Because Walt wanted it. And she's like, why? And I'm like, look at him,
and
dude.
And Walt's like, yeah, I wanted the mustache in the picture.
Yeah, that was from me. I asked for that Walt.
Twirling his mustache.
Also, can we talk about Tom Hanks as Walt?
Yeah,
that's
Tommy
perfect.
Hanks.
Gosh, dang it, it's perfect. he did a wonderful job. You don't agree?
I think he did a wonderful job. I don't know how to say this, but he was great as him, but that's not what I picture when I think of Walt.
Well,
I
mean, they're not going to look exactly.
I don't know. I don't picture his frame. I don't picture his intense personality like Walt. Almost, I don't know. He almost seemed meat-headed to me.
I think.
And I don't see.
Walt was pretty skinny at some points.
No.
Like if you see him in his suits and stuff.
I can see, like, his body, his build isn't necessarily the same as I imagine Walt's to be. But his personality, I think, is like right
on. Spot on.
Like, before I'd watched Saving Mr. Banks or knew too much about Walt Disney, you know, you kind of think of him as the creator of Mickey Mouse, as like a fun, loving, very, very successful businessman.
See,
right,
with me, without knowing nothing about Walt, just as a kid, I literally thought he was like the grandpa of Disneyland.
Right,
just this like really, really nice man who was super whimsical and created this thing, which is kind of true but not really,
but
you
not
know
really.
I've read bios on him,
but then after seeing this movie and learning a little bit more about him, I start thinking of him as like a I don't necessarily like a Steve Jobs, like a person who is
Luis
so
literally called
incredibly
him Steve
dedicated.
Don't you,
to
did,
his
do you remember, Lou?
To his vision of his product that he's going to do absolutely anything that it takes
to get it done
and to get it done right.
And that's why Walt Disney did so much in his lifetime.
But think about this; it's the funniest thing. He is P.L. Travers to the max when it comes to, and I don't mean this in
Mickey
a negative
Mouse.
Way. No, to manipulating storytelling.
Correct.
In a way that makes his vision the way he wants it.
Oh, right. For sure.
Because, and it's so funny because you hear all the time, why does Disney have to Disney-fy everything?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what Walt did.
What he
I mean,
did.
We talk
because
about
if
these
Disney
fairy
didn't
tales.
Disney-fy everything, it would be DreamWorks. That's why.
Exactly.
Also,
no,
they
that's
did
a harsh
Disney
burn on DreamWorks, but it's exactly true.
Also, most of these fairy tales have good endings, like the actual stories. And he's like, we're just going to change this up and make it nice and whimsical. And look at this.
Well, and I think it's because, like he said in the movie, but Luis and I watched a documentary, and now I honestly can't remember what it was called, but we watched a documentary on Walt's early, early life. And that man had it rough.
Yeah, he did.
He had it rough. And then when he got to be an adult, he had it even rougher.
Right.
And guess what? It got more rough and more rough and more rough. And
you
know what?
Trying to sell a cartoon mouse.
He was not the successful man that we think of. Mm-hmm. He was not rich. He was not.
Not till much later in life.
And even like when Disneyland was opening, it was just everything was always
a struggle.
Just a struggle. So that makes me think that Disneyfying things that... literally, it's becoming a new word.
Mm-hmm.
Disneyfying things is the way to get through life because it's easier to look at things in a positive way than to actually like, ooh, things are pretty rough right now, but if I look at the positive, at least we can get through it.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah. Which is a Disney, which is totally a Disney way of thinking.
I think
about me all the time when I'm like super depressed or having a bad week, and I literally will deflect so hard. I'll get in the car and turn on like the Little Mermaid album, and I'm like, I'm good now. Like I do the same thing, you know.
Oh,
like everybody
sure.
deflects like that. Walt Disney's just a master of it, I guess.
I think
created a whole land for himself.
Well,
right. Yeah. To go from being like a poor kid trying to make cartoons to showing up at Disneyland, and Ralph walks in and like, oh my God, it's Walt Disney. He's here.
I love that too. And he has his little pre-handwritten or his pre-signed card.
Yes.
Here you go.
Exactly. He's efficient.
Pl Travers
I love the card.
Was so offended
mad.
By that. She was like,
and he was
disgusted.
Like, it's easier. He's like, they're going to ask for it anyway.
Right. How am I supposed to enjoy my own park if I have to stop and sign things every couple of
and
seconds?
And I like that he drove his car right up through the freaking gates.
Gosh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. He deserves it.
And I love, though, when she's walking.
And he's
walking.
Just standing there waving like, hi.
I love him so much, though. And I also love when he's walking P.L. Travers down Main Street and he looks at the window where like the names are. And you can tell he's like, I should open up to her, but I'm waiting for her to tick first type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a smart man.
One of the best.
Got
quotes,
her on
though.
That carousel.
I know. I've got to pull it up. One of the best quotes in that whole part, though. So he's walking there. And it's fantastic because it was 100% filmed in Disneyland.
Like, oh, I know. I loved it.
There's no doubt.
Oh, my gosh. One of my favorite things is looking at old photos of Disneyland, the way people dress and, like, walk through there. Oh, I love it.
Oh, yeah. And it makes you think, like, wow, that was actually, like, a really cool time, you know?
It's only, like, 50 years ago, but it feels like forever ago.
Well, and we're over here looking like hot messes in our outfits when we go to Disneyland. I mean, cute, but not that kind of cute.
Not and dressed up cute.
One of the best things. So he gets her on.
I'll have you know, I never looked like a hot mess.
I'll have you
I
know.
I always look.
Oh, he said, I'll have you know.
I'll have you know you are the worst in Disneyland. So he gets her on the carousel and he's like, I'm only going to take you on one ride. And she's like, what? You had to come all the way down here to tell me this, that the boys have a new idea. And he's like, well, yeah, I think it's going to really make you happy. You didn't have to bring me all the way down here to tell me that. And he goes, oh, no, I had a wager I couldn't get you on a ride, and I just won $20. And then he turns around and starts waving at people. I'm like, oh.
I love it, though. It's so. Yes. Now, that's cheeky. Like, come on.
Cheeky.
That's cheeky. I also have a really appreciation for the ride he chose. Like, he chose the carousel, which we all know is in Mary Poppins. And mm-hmm. I know that there's, like, a horse on the actual carousel dedicated to Julie Andrews or to Mary Poppins. It's dedicated to
one
something around those aspects. Mm. And the horse has a name and I can't think of it. I'm gonna look it up right now.
It's
shoot. You would hope it was dedicated to P.L. Travers. I mean, she gave him the story at the end.
No, the horse is. I'm pretty sure the horse is like it's like a Mary Poppins horse, but I forget who it's like dedicated.
Again, I say you would hope it'd be.
Oh,
to
well,
Travers.
It's not. It's not the P.L. Travers horse. That doesn't sound that exciting.
Right. I don't know. The P.L. Travers horse.
You need to give credit where credit's due.
P.L. Travers horse. Yeah. P.L. Travers horse.
Another thing that I loved about Saving Mr. Banks specifically, which also ties very heavily into Mary Poppins, is I
remember this, Andre, and this is going to make me sound like the geekiest dang person that's ever walked this planet.
Oh.
But the piano that they were using mm-hmm. is the same make and model of the piano that we had in our choir
room.
Was it?
Yes. I did not notice that.
Yes. And the only reason I know that is because, like I'm saying, I'm the geekiest person on the planet. But when the two Sherman brothers were sitting there and they were playing their songs and they were just having a ball, it just reminded me back to a time where, like, where we would be in the choir room.
That's
and
what
just,
we would do.
You know
sitting,
what I mean? Just,
chilling, jamming.
And as a choir kid, that's what you do. I mean, you just sit around and you sing and, you,
sing
and you're silly.
Definitely
and,
would sing those kind of songs.
Exactly.
Too.
Yeah. And so it was fun watching them have fun. But then, like you said, to the worst audience
yes.
ever. It was like...
they were singing one song, and they sang like a made-up word or whatever. She's like, that's not a word. Take that out. Put it grammatically correct. And then they just like shove supercalifragilisticexpialidocious way
in
front
yeah,
of the back.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
that was so funny. Oh,
yeah,
my
you,
God.
Girl, you ain't going to like this song.
So I absolutely, like, I love all of the songs that the Sherman Brothers made for this movie. Like, they're all good and they're so lyrically brilliant as well, which I'm such a lyrical person. It's annoying. But I definitely learned more about them in Saving Mr. Banks, but I still want to watch that like documentary like on the Sherman Brothers because I really enjoyed watching them on the screen. I mean, I know the actors they picked for them were like very whimsy too. Like
yes.
I liked them, but they had good chemistry. Like I felt like they were the Sherman Brothers and I definitely want to see more of that.
Well, and one of the cool things is too, is that I know one of the brothers, was a, what do you call that? Advisor. It's not called
like
an
a,
advisor.
Like a consultant.
Yeah.
Ambassador.
For this movie.
Mm-hmm.
For this movie. Cause they that wanted to make sure that they, or he wanted to make sure that they were represented in a way that was,
I mean, they're brilliant.
Correct.
Right.
They
yeah.
didn't do as many. I was trying to look up like how many Disney movies they did and they didn't do as many as I thought they did. Like I thought they had more Disney
movie
credits.
But they have
credits,
quite a bit of the iconic
But they
ones.
Have mm-hmm. the like the older mm-hmm. before the like Disney Renaissance. It's like all before the Disney
Besides
Renaissance.
Besides before Mencken took the helm.
Right.
And just
well, yeah.
Took
yeah.
Over.
Mencken kind of went over. Okay. So the horse jingles.
Jingles.
It is dedicated to Julie Andrews in 2008 for the 50th anniversary of the park. But it wasn't like for Mary Poppins. It was for her 44 years of contributions to the Disney company.
It's pretty dang Mary Poppins-ish.
It's
though.
A very Mary Poppins looking horse. It's very whimsy. Yes, his name is Jingles.
Jingles.
Very cool.
Bojangles? No,
Mr.
Jingles.
Bojangles.
Which, okay, so let's also talk about the fact that P.L. Travers did not, and I mean did not to a T, want animation in this movie whatsoever. Which, it wasn't an animated movie, quote
no.
unquote.
No.
It
Correct.
Was not.
It's live action.
Until she found out that Walt was going to sneak in some... Walt, why would you do that
Sneaky
to her?
Sneaky animation.
Why would he do that to her, first of all? I really did think
because
he pushed it too far there.
Because...
He pushed it.
How are you going to get penguins to learn to dance?
Yeah.
God,
because this is how the movie's
and
gonna
all
be
of them are looking at the Sherman, but like, shut up! Like, you're gonna blow it. You're gonna blow the cover. But also, Walt shouldn't have done that. Like, straight up, come on, dude. She said no. Just like, leave it be. But also, that's like my favorite part of the movie. So it's really hard.
It is so.
I'm
cool.
like torn yeah. because it's so cool. And as a kid, gosh, that was my favorite part. As soon as they would jump into the chalk drawing,
yeah.
and I would get excited, and I was singing the Jolly Holiday with Mary song. As the animals, because that was like the one part I remembered.
Yeah.
It was like the horse singing it and the cow
yeah.
and the chickens. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I remember this.
Because who doesn't love to sing like that? That's all kinds of fun.
That's what I remember
See,
as a kid.
The fact of you guys just doing that right there
is why Walt wanted it in.
Sufficient
yes,
proof
I know.
As to why the animation needed to be in the movie. Because,
and it made
because
it.
What person on the street was going to sing like that?
Right. And if you think about the time of the 1960s, like, mixing live action and animation is I don't know how new it was, but I think it's very new. If even not this was the first one, you know. So like, it's a technical achievement as well as a whimsical and fun moment in the movie that 60, 70 years
yeah.
later we're still gushing.
And I also think it attested to the the nanny powers of Mary Poppins. I was like, oh, dang, she can do that. This is the best.
Oh, for sure. Which I thought she was magical.
That, which I understand that most of this is supposed to be a child's imagination. Right. Like, I get that. But if I'm assuming that she has Mary Poppins powers, which is what I like to assume, it's
Poppins
powers.
Yeah.
No,
it's pretty cool.
Mary Poppins graduated from Hogwarts like 2 years ago, and now she's got a job, and she's just confusing muggles all over
the
place.
She's the best nanny ever. She's legit. But I love, oh, my gosh, all of that. And then they're just walking through singing Jolly Holiday with Mary, and that is just so, so much fun. And then even, like, I hear supercalifragilisticexpialidocious all the time, but I forgot about the people in the background that would, like, bang the cymbals, and, like, they're dancing honky-tonk. But as soon as it came on, like, this, like, childhood spark came up in me, and I was like, yes, yes, I used to think those people were weird.
Yes.
Like, and I got so excited when we were watching all of that animation part. And that's
well, and I think that's because you can do so much more with animation where it is weird, but it's not as weird because it's animated.
Yeah.
Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Exactly.
Like eating the candy apples. I used to want one.
I know.
Right.
It's so good.
Well, and then that's just why it's so fantastic that there's a Jolly Holly Bakery.
And I need to know how she...
It always is very whimsical, the stuff
in
there.
There is whimsical. Yeah, they have a lot of that. Mm-hmm. You can buy a spoonful of... Or what is it? It's like from... They used to have it at the Jolly Holiday Bakery. It was like a little spoon, and it had like mousse on top of it with like a little penguin. I got it from there once, but it was years ago. It was like
when it first was a spoonful of sugar?
That's not what it was called, but it was supposed to be like, it was on a spoon, like a Mary Poppins spoon or whatever. I'll have to look it up and see if I can find a picture of it, but it was really cool.
So I'm looking at this meme right now, and it's making me laugh because I was looking up, you know, stuff from both, mm-hmm. and it was talking about Let's Go Fly a Kite, right? And this is one of the first times, at least in Saving Mr. Banks, where you hear... P.L. Travers like get excited about something, and it's because that's what Walt had been talking about,
right.
Was that the boys had an idea that Mr. Banks fix the kite,
mm-hmm.
right, so that he could go and play with them, go and fly it. And so they named the song Let's Go Fly a Kite, and they're singing it to her, and she's like, okay. And then she goes, although the proper English would be let us go and fly a kite. And then one of the brothers is like, let us go and fly a kite. And she's like, I might be willing to overlook that.
finally she gives in.
Like, yeah. The one thing you're going to see, like let go.
Let
that's
us
the
go
one thing.
And fly a
and
kite.
And I
can you imagine.
I never had.
So wordy.
Gosh, so wordy. That's another author. One of the songs where I had such a greater appreciation for it after I watched Saving Mr. Banks. And I think if I watched like actual Mary Poppins now, I'd probably cry when that song came on because it was really good. It was so good. And she was so happy.
Well, it's funny too, because maybe as a kid, I know that as a kid, I didn't have the appreciation for what fixing the kite really meant.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It was like, well, that's nice that,
oh,
because
yeah, look at that.
And I know this sounds bad, but like, okay, well, my dad would have fixed the kite.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that
right.
sounds
yeah.
really bad, but like...
yeah, so would have
it
my
wasn't
dad.
That big of a deal. Like, okay, yeah. well, dad fixed the kite, now they're going to go kite around,
that's
cool.
That's why it's so interesting watching it from a kid to an adult, because, yeah, like, the spoonful of sugar and supercalifragilistic and all of those were so, so good, and Step in Time and all of that. And then after watching Saving Mr. Banks and as an adult, I'm like, oh, I like Feed the Birds and Let's Go Fly a Kite, and the bank song's pretty cool, too.
Tuppence
a day. Nubbins, a bag. I keep saying a day. Tuppence a bag. Oh, can we talk about Chimney Sweep, Bert?
I was going to say, we have not even right. talked about
okay.
Step in Time, which
so
is probably the
exactly.
coolest.
Another
oh,
reason,
right.
another reason why I was not excited to watch this movie is because when I graduated from high school, my graduation present was going to see Mary Poppins on Broadway in Sacramento, the Sacramento Theater, with my mom. And I didn't like it because they couldn't do a lot of that
crazy
magic crazy.
Didn't have animated penguins.
No, there's no animated penguins stuff. Ooh. The only scene I liked though was freaking Step in Time
Step
Chimney
in Time's
Sweeps
the business.
Which they killed it, because it was, think of all the, oh man, even this movie, I was just like, yes, yes, it felt like I was watching Newsies again almost.
Oh it's totally Newsies-ish.
So Newsies.
They have the same type of choreography.
Yeah,
it was also terrifying when they're going over the buildings.
I'm
yes.
about it. Jumping, yeah. flying,
Chim,
dancing,
Chim,
leaping.
Chimney, Chim, Chim. century. Oh, I love Bert. He's so nice. So he takes the kids up. How did they even get up on the roof? Oh, he goes
magic.
Up through the
chimney, right?
He accidentally goes up through the chimney.
Poppins powers. That's what.
And Mary Poppins was.
Ascendio.
This was the fun. The funny part is that it was Mary Poppins' day off, and she just like appears. She's like, great, they need my help. Like, and she powders.
Omniscient.
She powders her nose, and it's black. Soot
yeah. So that she can look a little bit
so
more.
She blends in. Gosh, yes, it's so good. All of the. Ooh, that was a magical scene too. Like that scene and the animation are like the best part to me.
The dancing in the Chim Chim Marie song.
Step in time.
Never need a reason. Never need a rhyme. Step in time.
Kick your knees up. They're just literally yelling all these different things.
Can you imagine the cardio it would take to be able to do that dance?
I mean, yeah.
As they were
those
doing
gentlemen
it,
are like bringing their legs up to like their noses.
Yes,
yeah. Like,
but which is so good. Oh, I love a good male dancer. It's insane how much I love a good male dancer. But I was telling Andre when we were watching that scene, I was like, how many times do you think they had to do this? And he was like, hopefully once. I was like, I don't know if it was just definitely dozens, though.
It definitely was not like the
like,
scene
I know
the
they
first
practice
time.
A lot before they like do those scenes, but still I was just thinking in my head, like, how many times did they have to do this?
Yeah,
like,
and they were not marking it. They were doing it full out every single time stepped in time.
But it's so good.
Chim chiminy, chim chiminy, chim chim chiroo and re though.
Yeah, apparently sleeps are lucky. Oh, if you shake their hand.
Yes.
Something
when
the
I shake hands with you.
When the little Tom's like, wow, Dad, you shook so many chimney sweep hands, you're so lucky. And he's like, what the hell's going on?
Why is that happening?
He's like, so please
lucky.
Don't touch me.
Oh, it's
you are so
and,
lucky.
And also a really big turning point for Mr. Banks's character is when he has that conversation with Bert while he's in the house,
right.
which Bert also has a way with words kind of like Mary Poppins, where he was very firmly saying, like, be there for your kids, but he was saying it in a way that really made Mr. Banks think about how he is as a father to the children, which was very interesting to me. I really liked that scene.
Well, and that was kind of a beautiful moment because societally, again, during that time period, but I mean, it could happen now. Can you imagine, like, some perhaps homeless gentleman who's cleaning your stuff, chimney.
Yeah.
Comes in and starts telling you how to, like,
how to raise your kids.
How to raise your kids. Again, it's like, at what point do you have the right to tell me this, sir?
Yes, exactly.
But
No matter how right you are.
No matter if you're telling the gospel.
And
like,
yeah.
It was nice, though, that they were able to share these really important life lessons from someone who, quote unquote, maybe not have what, you know, may not have the credentials to tell you what's what, but be that kind
of
guiding.
And it was
light.
Even stronger because I think of that scene as like the third of these three. There was like three really big life lessons that happened. Number one, Mary Poppins told them to go see the bird lady and get the bag with your tuppence.
Yep.
Because she knew that they were going to go to the bank, and I guarantee you she knew what their dad was going to do. Their dad was going to be like, give me your tuppence. Let's put it in the bank. First of all, they're kids. Like, that's just weird to me. But that's what was going to happen, right? So Mary Poppins
knew. How dare you save your money, Michelle?
She sang them a song about the birds and about being humble and all this stuff. So that was lesson number one. Lesson number two was that scary fiduciary whatever song.
It's interesting because
all of those men's faces are so scary to me, just the way they look. Like, I know, isn't the grandpa Dick Van Dyke?
Yes.
The old man. God, he's so freaking
which is the
hilarious.
Worst one. He's so scary.
But it's so hilarious. Funny. Dick Van Dyke, I can't with you. But you
I
kinda,
love the way he walks and his little knees.
You kind of see Mr. Banks's face even while that song is being sung. His face is kind of like hesitant, like he's singing it and he's like, give me your money, but he's also like, oh, I have pressure from the bank and oh, these are my kids.
Yeah,
so that was like a little bit weird. But then after he talks to Bert, I think he's finally like, well, time to go get sacked.
I'm thinking about it too hard because like I really like the character of Bert, but like I just can't be convinced that he's like a regular homeless or a regular chimney sweep or whatever. Like, I think he's some kind of ancient being or whatever. That's how he knows Mary Poppins. That's why he's so okay with all the magic that's happening. That's
or
why he knows everything to do with the kids.
Maybe the rest of the world
like a vampire
is so
or something.
Caught up in all of this. And because he's homeless or poor, he's more in tune with the world in general. It's like how I like
he's
to think
like
of
the
it.
Dalai Lama.
Yeah, like he just like
I like the idea. Of
he
him
just
being
like
an ancient god.
that what?
Yeah.
He, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He travels through time and stuff like that. That's why.
So he's Doctor.
That's why he's the old man at the bank.
I think
too.
He's just more humble and like appreciative of like every little thing in life.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense too.
Fine. Anyways, whatever.
He's
can
a
we,
wizard.
Can we talk about also Fidelity Love to Laugh, which I still don't bank. Quite understand the
not
need for
my
that.
Favorite scene in this movie.
The Love to Laugh?
Yeah, not at
I,
all.
I still don't quite understand.
We could cut it out
it
and
necessary.
It... Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they wanted to put the Mad Hatter in there, but, yeah. You know.
Nah. We could just...
You have a fun voice.
No, I can't. It's not a fun
you
voice.
Can.
No.
Yes.
Luis, how
you're
did you feel
really
about
good
that
at
scene?
That.
Thank you.
Did all three of us like it? Luis, did you like the Love to Laugh thing?
I hate that song.
Oh. Yeah.
I just wish that the jokes in it were a little bit better so I actually was laughing.
Yeah.
I kept looking at Andre. Well, you guys can't see me, but just imagine me rolling my eyes to the side staring at my husband.
They were puns.
That's what I
and I was giggling. But yeah, I wanted to actually laugh and be floating on my own ceiling, and that wasn't happening.
But I still agree they could cut it out.
What bothers me is that there's other parts in the movie that are funny.
Yes.
And this was not funny.
Right.
Like, I need it to be funny if we're singing about laughing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like because it kind of just made me feel like they were drinking some really fancy tea that none of us else.
And didn't Alice in Wonderland come out before this?
What?
Right? Alice in Wonderland?
Yes.
I was like, why is the Mad Hatter drinking tea again? What's happening?
This gentleman is very serious about his
tea. Yeah, so that's definitely like an homage.
I guess. That's the one scene that, yes, I agree, they could cut it
out. We could have cut it, and I wouldn't have cried.
Cut it.
And, you know, it's funny, because remember in our last episode, I was saying that when I rewatched it a couple years ago, I was like, what? That was one of those scenes where I was just kind of dumbfounded as to the point and the necessity. So still, if we're trying to be whimsical, I feel like the rest of the movie is pretty dang whimsical. Like,
right.
You're telling me P.L. Travers didn't like Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious and she was cool with I Love to Laugh?
Right, yeah.
Like,
you know?
Girl does not love to laugh.
Yeah, oh, I don't know.
Lies.
At the very end, I think you had like walked away or went to the bathroom or something like that. But in the credits of Saving Mr. Banks, they play like the actual tapes that they had recorded with P.L. Travers and the Sherman Brothers. And
is she yelling?
Yes, it's fascinating. She is just not having it with anything that they're saying. And she is like yelling into the mic to make sure that she's heard and stuff.
Really?
Like that.
I
yes,
love how she like turns to the microphone. Nuts.
Oh, yeah. She wants them to
are we getting
in.
This? Hello?
She said that?
Yeah,
I need to watch the credits again though, because that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Hello.
Is P.L. Travers passed? Is she alive still?
I believe
I'm
she
assuming
is no longer with us. But
that she's not. But I don't know.
Helen Goff.
Yeah,
Helen Goff.
Helen Lyndon Goff died in 1996.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to know something crazy?
I
yes.
Yes.
Julie Andrews is what, 80-something?
Something.
And Andre showed me a current picture of her, and she's
still
a
babe.
Yeah.
She is still a straight babe.
Absolutely.
Still a babe.
And she is, she
also, they're making another Princess Diaries movie, and she's supposed to be in it, so.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
No.
Dick Van Dyke is still alive, too.
I think I keep asking you this, but you said he is still alive. You want to know why I know?
So freaking cute, dude.
He's in Mary Poppins Returns, isn't he?
Oh, I don't know. Is
yeah,
he
makes a cameo.
I think he is.
I think they both make a cameo.
Oh, really? I saw a picture of him with Emily Blunt at the premiere, and he just looks so cute. I'm like, oh.
He's the cutest old man I've ever seen in my life.
Because he still looks exactly the same.
Yeah,
mean,
he
obviously
does.
He's eight.
His smile.
His eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Man,
so cute.
He's so good.
He was born in 1925. Goodness gracious.
It was weird because
Van Dyke.
I guess it's not weird, but I didn't cry in like the Mary Poppins movie, but I definitely cried quite a bit in Saving Mary.
Like, so good.
I was crying. I was like, oh, she's really sad. And then she said that. I was like, ah, cheeky.
I think like... When the movie started and Ralph shows up, the driver, actor, he's in a lot of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of him, I think of him yelling because he has like a very fun, like a yelly voice.
Yes.
Like, oh, he's going to get his yell on in this movie. It's going to be great. And that didn't happen. Like probably like 30 minutes away from the ending of the movie, I realized that this is a Paul Giamatti crying movie. And I was like, oh no, it's happening. And he's like talking about his daughter, and then he's picking her back up from the airport when she comes back for the premiere and stuff like that.
And she's like,
it's happening.
Ralph. And she like runs to him to hug him. It's annoying.
You're the only American I haven't liked.
She signs the book for the daughter.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yes.
And very he's good. Like, just like, oh, I found this in her room, and wow, and it's so cool. He's definitely like the best. He's so sweet.
He very, very lovable character in this movie.
Yeah.
Also, did Walt really get on a plane and fly all the way back to tell her like this movie's getting made? Because I totally believe
that sounds like
do.
A movie thing, but I fully believe that he would have done that. It might not have been that same day, but
kind of reminds me of the Parent Trap a little bit. But
yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
That's we literally like got on the one right after you left. Yeah. Oh, did you know? Okay.
We beat you here. We got on the faster plane or whatever.
Yeah, he didn't beat her this time, but
we got on the Walt jet.
Yeah.
And we got here. Mm-hmm.
There's also just moments. I mean, I really, really like all the flashbacks that they do in Saving Mr. Banks, because it, like I said, you can be the most stubborn, annoying person, and I could probably quote unquote hate you. But if I don't know what your childhood's like, because everybody is the way they are because of their childhood. And I firmly,
their past in general.
Yes, their past. But it stems from childhood. And firmly believe that, like to a T.
Yeah.
So I love that they did that, because every time I'm watching a movie where like it's a villain or someone's messed up, I'm like, well, what was their childhood like? So yeah. I really appreciate that they did that. That
like,
was
I need
fantastic.
To know about your daddy issues. Okay.
I do. Like, I need to know. And I know that's like just the psychologist part of me, but I love it.
Yeah, I went back and forth on the childhood flashbacks, because at first I was like,
sad.
At first, the beginning of the movie, I was like, okay, this is nice, but this is boring. I want to get to, let's make a Disney movie and watch some of that. But mm-hmm. then as she got like worse and worse during the production of the movie, I was like, okay, we got to cut back to her as a child. I need to know why she is like this.
Exactly.
She is awful right now.
It
and
was
I don't
needed.
Like it.
And then in that moment, that's when I realized, okay, this movie is titled Saving Mr. Banks, which I always thought the movie was about like saving the movie, saving Mary Poppins. But no, it was about saving
the memory
the
of
image
her
of her father. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, this movie, like I thought this movie was going to be about Walt a lot more than it was about her. I was like, this is not his movie. It's her movie.
Right.
You know, so then I like appreciate it so much more. And I really think it's nice that they made a movie like about her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I don't know. It's just very good.
Well, and you know what's really interesting is that, I mean, Luis is talking about the exact amount of time as he usually does. Mm-hmm. But when we were watching Saving Mr. Banks, he looked at me and I'm telling your secrets over there. He goes, I'm not going to talk when we talk about Saving Mr. Banks. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, this movie just hit me on an emotional level. Like
it does.
But he wasn't, he's not laughing. Like he's being serious. He's like it just like hit some really emotional parts in you, mm-hmm. especially if you had any type of like trauma as a kid.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
You know, like it really does make you think about the past and how you view it. And how does that make you see your future? And how does that, you know, really, like you were saying, like, how does that make you view the world?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really interesting, because he was like, yeah, I ain't talking when we're talking about that.
I mean, her.
But he loved it.
Her
dad,
as a character, as a person, like, he's very interesting, because I was like, oh, he is so good with his kids. He's so.
Ooh, they picked a really good actor.
Yeah, Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell was like,
bang up
job.
I'm growing more appreciative of Colin Farrell every time I see him in something.
Over time.
Yeah, he's really good.
Well, in the other one, what's the other one that he was in? Grindelwald.
But the thing is, he was great with his children. But you could
always
say the mom's
terrible
face.
With everything else. He is a drunk. He's bad
but
at his job.
He was drunk with his kids a
lot
of
exactly.
the time.
Yeah, exactly. I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is that's the only thing that brought him joy, and it wasn't enough to keep him from drinking, to make him good at his job. He needed the drink to function. Yeah, to satisfy.
Then he
himself.
Got like the plague. So. That's whatever he had.
That's what got me, and I could not get over.
Right.
Yeah.
How could he love his kids so much and love his family so much, but he was not willing to get rid of that? But at the same time, it's like
he was addicted.
I'm judging him based off of that, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I'm so sympathetic for him because it's such an addiction.
Yeah.
And also, I'm just going to think about mental health outlets at this time period. It was basically,
that's what we were saying too.
It was basically like man up. There was nothing, there was no way to really help him. Well, I mean, the mom was just going to kill herself. Like, there was no... Yeah. I think about there's still not a lot of mental health outlets nowadays, but there's more than definitely was
back
then.
Well, you
want to
go
back
through both of those parents' lives. Because, because mom was unstable.
Right.
I had the impression that mom was had already passed. And it was because of the scene... Where she just walks into the water
yeah.
and she's just like almost comatose.
Right. And that's why I was thinking like, oh, P.L. Travers, she doesn't have anybody with her. She's lost everyone. So yeah, I was thinking that the mom was going to bite the dust as well.
Right. Well, and she kind of did. Like, unfortunately, she had like kind of like a psychotic break yeah. of some sort mm-hmm. and she just yeah. couldn't function anymore. And the poor dad, like...
He didn't know what to do.
He was a non-coping alcoholic. Right. 100%.
Exactly.
And... Like you said, even though he was such a fantastic father in the moment, he was an awful...
God, the scene...
Kind of an awful father in
general.
The scene
where he's making the announcements or like for the awards.
Gosh, it was so bad.
God, it was so bad.
When he first started, I was like, okay, he's doing okay. All right, he's got it. He's got it.
No,
he fell off the stage.
But it's... I know, that actually was kind of funny. But it was one of those moments, though, that made that stupid Fidelity Fiduciary Bank song so poignant.
Because he's like saying all the things that are in the song.
It was... And the way that they like coupled it where...
Like, I know that was dramatized, but it was very good.
Oh my gosh. They were really singing good. It in the studio, then they were singing it, or he was
like
saying
sing talking.
Mm-hmm. Oh my, it was so, it's like you wanted to love it because the sing-songy part is hilarious, but then his was
so
tragic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, they did a good job with the heartstrings on that movie.
Correct. Yes.
But then.
Yeah, they did. It was so sad when he's trying to be a good dad and our daughter doesn't want to let him down, and so she goes and finds some alcohol and brings it to him, and she doesn't know what she's doing. That's what it made
really
me
rough.
Sad when the mom was like, I know you did it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what? You love him more than me? I was like, no, she doesn't. It's hard, Mom. She's torn, okay? She doesn't know she's a kid. It was hard. Oh, it was very good, though.
Yeah.
But then, in true Disney style, he Disney-fied it, and now we love it for ages.
Right, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's fine. And it's cool.
And I'm assuming P.L. Travers also liked Mary Poppins.
She must have, because she okayed it.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't say, let us go and fly a kite.
Right.
Let us go and fly a kite.
Made up words in it. And
there
red.
Are, yeah, they have the made up word in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good enough for me. I like it.
I liked it.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So how much did just original Mary Poppins make?
Money. Money, 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 honey. Let's see here. The original Mary Poppins, its domestic total gross was $31 million, but its lifetime gross is $100 million. And I think that's because it probably was re-released a couple of times. And there's no data on its worldwide release just because, I don't know, maybe they didn't do that back then. They didn't release movies overseas necessarily. Although you would think... At the very least, London. They would try.
They did. I think they did a British premiere. Remember, he said in the movie.
Yeah, but they don't. I have no data on this. So $100 million for Mary Poppins.
And tomato meters.
Tomato meter for Mary Poppins. It got a. Oh, I'm on the wrong page. Mary Poppins received on Rotten Tomatoes a 100%.
Yes, it did. What?
Certified fresh.
The freshest.
The audience score is 86%. When I just clicked into it, there are no bad reviews for this movie at all. So I think that's just from critics at the time, not necessarily.
Except for P.L. Travers.
Oh no! Actually, a lot of it is through time from then till now, the critics' reviews. So yeah, very 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 good. And for Saving Mr. Banks, that movie. Raked in a domestic total of $83 million and foreign made $34 million, concluding to a worldwide of $117 million. Its budget was $35
million. Oh, wow.
Which isn't that bad for some with Tom Hanks in there.
So you're trying to say that 100 of that went to Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Wait, what's the tomato rating for that one?
For Saving Mr. Banks, the tomato meter is at 79%.
Oh, okay.
With an audience score of 84%.
So audience score was pretty similar on both movies then?
Yes.
86 correct. And 84, something like that?
84 and 89, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Luis, you ready to rate? What are you going to give first Mary Poppins?
About a 7.5.
Okay. Reasoning?
Too frivolous.
Okay, PL.
Okay,
Travers. And Saving Mr. Banks.
8. No comment.
Too emotional.
No too comment. Serious.
Too emotional.
Not frivolous enough.
8. No comment. Okay, Emily, your
I
turn.
I love you, Louie. I did enjoy Mary. I really did. I would rewatch it more than I would have. Like, if you had asked me before we rewatched them, I would have been like, not my favorite. But now I'm much more willing to rewatch. But again, I could just like remaster my own version and just cut out the laughing. Mm-hmm. And I would be okay.
Yeah.
That would bring it up to like a 9. I won't even lie
make
to you.
It like 6 minutes shorter or whatever.
And, you know, 6 minutes of my life are very important. So I'm going to give it a 9 because in especially the time period that it came out, I think it was genius.
Yeah.
Music's fantastic. Dancing is fantastic. We didn't talk at all about Winifred, but I love the suffragette mom. She's
oh, my gosh. Yeah, we left her out.
Hilarious.
Get those votes, girl.
Girl, she is
get those
funny.
Votes, girl.
I just really enjoyed like her whimsy. Mm-hmm. Very good. For Saving Mr. Banks, I'm going to say a 9 as well. I really enjoyed it. And yes, she was, P.L. Travers was a pain the whole time, but it was worth watching. It was worth watching her like being the painful meanie head that she was.
Right.
Because there was a reason. And it actually was kind of funny. Like if you took the... She's sassing Walt Disney out of it. Like, it's pretty funny.
I agree. I'm going to give Mary Poppins a 9. I think if you had asked me before this, I would have been like 6 or 7 because I just didn't really, yeah, I just didn't. But after we watched it, I was like, wow, Andre, I really enjoyed that. Like, I was pleasantly surprised. And I agree with you for this time period. It's so wonderful. And Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke, come on.
Babes.
9 out of 10.
Word.
Saving Mr. Banks. Gosh, I want to give it like slightly higher just because it made me appreciate Mary Poppins more. But I'm also going to give it a 9 just because it's really good. It's sad. Like, I don't think I will be like, I'm going to watch this movie again because it is one of those movies where it is.
The feels are real.
And there's a lot of feels in it. Yeah. But still 9.
Oh, we also didn't talk about the other lady who made that movie for me. It was Ralph, and then the receptionist lady who was bringing in the Jell-O.
Oh
my
yeah!
Gosh.
Oh
you
my god!
She's like,
you better get that cake out of here! I swear.
The lady was, she was like so happy to see her, and she was, and PL Drivers was not
yeah,
happy to see the receptionist.
Not having it at all.
So funny!
Hilarious.
I am going to give Mary Poppins 2 scores.
What?
It's pre-Saving Mr. Banks score is a 7.5. It's a fun movie. I enjoy it. There's dancing and singing, and Julie Andrews is great. After watching Saving Mr. Banks, though, and learning about P.L. Travers and her life and the significance of the songs and how hard Walt Disney had to work to get this movie made, I put it up to an 8.
Okay.
7.5 and 8. And for Saving Mr. Banks, I really enjoyed that movie. I think that's a 9 for me. It's really fun to watch. It's fun to hate P.L. Travers at first and then
come around
on her later after learning her backstory and stuff like that. Like it's just a really fun process. So yeah, 9 for Saving Mr. Banks. 7.5 for
Mary Poppins. It's just such a good story about how this movie was made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure you can't do that for every movie, but like it really works for
Mary Poppins.
And
the funniest part is it's not even like, take a step back. It's not even really about how this movie was made. Mm-hmm. Because think about it. All we see is very short snippets of the script.
Yeah.
It's not even like production, which can you imagine like the
her being on set.
Oh my god, that would have been a whole nother
thing. I don't
want to
think about it.
Which
she
I
probably yelled
think,
at Dick Van Dyke a million times.
I don't think she had rights to do that though.
No,
she only
they
had,
probably banned her from the set.
Yeah,
they
she
probably
had
made
rights
her go back to England
for the script. That's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah,
and she was supposed to be there for those 2 weeks or whatever,
exactly.
and then go the
that's
heck
it.
Back home,
yes.
girl.
I guarantee you though, she probably said something about Dick Van Dyke. She
oh,
did not
oh
like
sure.
Him.
Yeah. I'm sure she said lots of things about Dick Van Dyke.
I wonder if she liked Julie Andrews.
I don't know. I doubt it.
I read a review that she did.
She did. Okay.
She did, and she like vied for Julie Andrews.
Okay. Oh, cool. Okay.
And it's probably because she was in Sound of Music before that, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And she's, which is hilarious because I feel like she's much more like her persona as the governess in Maria, in Sound of Music as Maria, mm-hmm. is what Mary Poppins, like what she assumed more from Mary Poppins.
Right.
But
yes.
then they got more whimsy than she was looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to watch Sound of Music still.
Oh, yikes. Girl, I got it on deep.
Have you never seen The Sound of Music?
I've seen bits and pieces.
Shut the front door.
My, me, oh my. I like.
I know Doe a deer, a female deer.
I like Sound of Music more than Mary Poppins.
And the hills are alive with the sound of music. That's about it.
Oh.
Sound of music.
She getting her R&B on at the end. I'm going to tell you right now that Luis watched that when we first got married and was like, all right. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Musical. Yeah. Not that bad.
Maybe I'll have time to watch it. You got it? Can I take it home?
You ain't taking it home. You watching it here.
Okay, maybe we'll come back over.
Oh,
watch it.
Love me some.
Your baby will just be kicking in there like, woo-hoo.
You're just fighting the Nazis with music.
Yeah,
I like
dude.
It.
It's awesome.
Oh, nice.
There's only a couple better ways to fight Nazis.
What do you mean? The power of song. It's the Poppins power. Shut up.
I like punching him in the face. All right. You guys, that's it for this week. Next week or next time, what are we watching?
Dun, 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 dun.
We're going to watch a movie about balloons in the sky.
That's right. We are going to watch 2009's Pixar movie Up.
Up. Which, by the way, guys, if you're new to this, listening to this podcast, we're kind of at the end of our Pixar leg here because
we did
a lot of them. So if you want to hear more about Pixar movies, feel free to listen to our past Pixar movie episodes.
True.
Because after this, I think we only have Finding Nemo and sequels left.
Truth.
Yeah.
Hey, what?
You're right.
Also, wow. I haven't seen Up in a very long time. I'm excited. I think it came out in 2009.
Mm-hmm. I've seen Up once. And
in the theater?
No. It was after it came out, and that's all I will say.
I've seen the first 10 minutes multiple times, but the actual movie.
Torturing yourself?
Yeah,
because
people post those videos.
You have a sadistic wife over here who just wants to cry her emotions out all over the place. I don't do no feels.
I don't do no feels.
Neither does Luis. He ran away. Oh, he's never seen it. Okay, so. Well,
but this
about
is
to feel some feels, bro.
This is actually really good, though, because it's 10 years since this movie came out.
Oh, yeah.
So
happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Okay.
All right.
What movie was that from again?
Haunted Mansion.
Thank you. Yes.
Live action. It was so bad.
It was so bad.
Yes. So join us in just 2 weeks short time for the movie Up.
Also,
you enjoy that?
Fellow Up. I can't even
You can't do it like Andre can.
I can't do it. Fellow patrons, if you weren't aware, most of these people like Disney stuff. Don't know if you like video games, but Kingdom Hearts 3 is out. And if you're a patron, my lovely husband has recorded himself playing it for you.
That's right.
To watch.
If you like
with Mary Angela commenting.
Yes, that's true. She is in the chat on the videos. So Kingdom Hearts 3 video game came out. It's a game that includes a bunch of Disney characters, just a buttload of them.
I heard you say that Corona was all up in there, which is the Tangled.
Yes.
I want to watch that.
I think that's the
he
first
just
world
finished
I,
the San Francisco one, and it looked pretty freaking
yes.
cool. And the Toy Story world was awesome, too.
Yeah. So it's a game where some Final Fantasy anime-style characters interact with Disney characters and Disney movies specifically. So in the game, I'm running through and going through the entire story of like Tangled and Frozen and Big Hero
Which,
6.
Which, fun fact, and I don't know if this is a spoiler alert for anybody, so I will say, spoiler alert, you can summon like a Disney character to fight with you.
Yes.
And so he summoned Ariel earlier, and she was like flying through the air and doing these swimmy things and like going through buildings and stuff.
And you were losing it.
Losing my mind.
It's really cool. So
you can also summon rides.
Yeah, there are attractions in the game. So
oh
I can,
my God, you
summon
can see my
teacups
right
and
now.
Use them to fight, and like use a carousel and use that to fight
pirate
and
ship.
A pirate ship. It's really cool and it's beautiful looking.
Say. Oh, and Rapunzel's Tower, you can summon that.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. You can see my face right now.
Yeah,
oh
dude.
My God.
It's on Xbox. So,
do you want to know what's really funny about this? Yeah. Is that I'm not getting that game, Lou. He just like really yelled at me. Okay.
Yeah, he did.
Jeez Louise, I'm not having your baby or anything. All right. So here's the deal. So as of this recording, Andre got the game at 9 p.m. On Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And it is now Saturday.
A week ago.
So he has played, what did you say?
I have
27 hours?
27 hours.
He has played 27 hours.
And I'm aware.
I have
as
a full-time
wife,
job.
I'm aware.
He works a full-time job, y'all. Mm-hmm. He does not sleep a full-time job.
Also, that you guys can watch him live stream it if
yes.
you want.
So
didn't you have a comedy show last night, too?
No, he didn't go.
No, I didn't end up going.
Oh, so I wonder why.
So I played.
No, it got canceled.
Nah. He told you it got canceled.
So
he lied to you.
I did play a bunch last night. Yeah, so I'm going to keep posting videos of me playing through the games, specifically of the Disney worlds that I'm going to. I might not do, like, the entire game because all of the Kingdom Heartsiness stuff of it has taken over the Disney stuff. So the Disney stuff is kind of like a backseat.
Sure.
But maybe you could put like clips where you're summoning the rides
sure.
or like the characters.
Yeah,
because you can summon like Wreck-It Ralph too, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll definitely edit those out and put them on the Patreon. So if you want to see some fun stuff of me playing Kingdom Hearts 3, please go to patreon.com/thewaltvault. Sign up. It's only $1. It's $1. You can see all this cool stuff. And also, there you get access to our after show, Cracking the Vault. I post the notes from the podcast that I take. And then, and if you sign up at the $5 or more level, we'll send you a gift in the mail. It's fun stuff over at the Patreon. So go there, join up, do all that stuff. In the meantime, if you want to just hang out with us for free, you can go to our social media sites. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Waltz Vault Pod. Go there, talk to us, slide in our DMs. Just like Sora slides across the ground with his keyblade and hits Heartless in the face with Goofy and Donald by his side. if you want to send us a message.
We're not getting paid by Kingdom Hearts at all.
No,
so just
really,
so you know.
We really aren't at all in any way, shape, or form.
Andre's just that excited,
y'all. I
just
love it so much. Oh, man, it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
He's getting 10.
That doesn't make
out
any
of 10
sense.
Ratings.
Yeah. So go there. Go do all the stuff. Send us an email to contact@thewaltvaultpod.com. Leave a comment on what you thought of Mary Poppins, of what you thought of Saving Mr. Banks, of what you thought of our thoughts on those movies. Do all of that stuff. Comments, emails, DMs. Do it up. That's it for this.
Anything else?
That's it for this time, you guys. We'll see you next time for some up goodness. The vault is now closed.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious out.